This morning, as we wrap up our sermon series on That's in the Bible, I want to share with you a very odd story. Now, after having preached on fortune-telling with fleece jackets, invisible hands writing on walls, young couples' love poetry, and a hangry Jesus killing a tree, it's interesting that I would choose to call this one very odd. Now, I say so not because of its supernatural occurrences. I don't say it's odd because of the descriptions of young love that make one blush. I say this one is odd because it just outright perplexes me. I tell you, this is a scripture that troubled me the first time I read it. And the second. And the third. In fact, this scripture even bothered me a few times this week while I was preparing for my sermon. Take a listen to the story from the book of Acts in our New Testament. Now the full number of those in the community who believed they were of one heart and one soul, no one said that any of the things belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, sold a field that belonged to him, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds, and brought only a part of the money and laid it before the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has temptation filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, wasn't it your own? And after it sold, the money was at your disposal. Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to people, but you have lied to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried his body out to be buried. After about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Tell me, Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for this amount. And she said, yes, for that much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together with your husband to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, these are the feet of those who just carried out and buried your husband, and they will carry you out as well. Immediately she fell down and breathed her last breath. The young men came, found her dead, carried her out, and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all who heard of these things. You see what I mean? This is odd. It's one of those passages that leaves me asking that question on the front of the Bible, or on the front of the bulletin, that's in the Bible? That is in the Bible. I mean, what's the deal with this? Is this a give or die scripture? I guarantee you that somewhere, at some time, some pastor has preached this scripture and then handed out the pledge cards. I have wanted to preach on this scripture for a while now. You will note I've intentionally not used it during our stewardship campaign. That happened then, this is happening now. Because I think there's been a lot of misuse and misunderstanding around this scripture. And that misuse and that misunderstanding comes from thinking that this scripture is about money. People think, oh, they didn't give their money and they died. This scripture is not about money. The money involved is symbolic of something more. It actually takes me back to the words of Jesus when he said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You see, this scripture is about a couple, Ananias and Sapphira, who have heart trouble because they have treasure trouble. The scripture is not about money, it's about matters of the heart. This scripture is about relationship and connection and honesty and giving your all. And as with almost every scripture, context is key. The early Christian communities were extremely interdependent. You heard it described in the scripture that no one said that any of the things belonged to them were their own. They had everything in common. They put the commune in community. For them, that kind of relationship was an extension of the Christian message. They wanted to be, as Paul would write in his many letters, they wanted to be one body. This deeply connected nature meant there were some very clear lines as to who was in that community and who was out of that community. This connection left insiders and outsiders, those who gave and were dependent and those who did their own thing. I mean, outside people were welcome to share in the message of Jesus. They were welcome to share in the hope and the new life. It's just that the inside people were living it together. And it was this inside nature of being seen that way, connected within community that Ananias and Sapphira wanted. Though, listen, not the focus of today's sermon, it is worth noting that this is yet another example in our scriptures that when you set up an insider and outsider kind of structure, it is a failure to live Christ's message. Ananias and Sapphira wanted that commitment. Well, no, they didn't want commitment. They wanted low commitment of outsiders, but they wanted the high relational benefits and the esteem of being insiders. Yeah, that's it. They wanted the high benefits with the low commitment. This was a heart problem. So they gave what they thought would be just enough for the appearance of it. Now, this is where the scripture of then ties in to the reality of now so beautifully. Our world is full of people. We are people who are full of desire for appearance. How will this look? They gave what they thought would be just enough for the appearance they wanted. And what we find is one of the messages of this scripture is that they were worried about appearance and ended up missing out on life. Quite literally, actually. They were worried about appearance and they missed out on life. I don't know if there really were two people who didn't give all the money they said they would who dropped dead. I don't know. I do know that God doesn't smite people. The scripture doesn't even say that God does that, right? It doesn't even say, and God struck them down. It simply says, upon hearing this, they breathed their last. It just happened. But what I do know is that either literally or figuratively, these two people missed out on life because their treasure and their heart had a problem. You see, they were thinking that money could buy them the relationships they wanted. They thought that money could buy them the meaning they were seeking, that if they did just enough, they could get the esteem they thought they needed. And because of all those weird priorities, they missed out on life. They were also missing the core message of the Christian experience, which for today's purposes I will summarize thusly. They missed out on the core of the Christian message, that it's all been taken care of. It's all been taken care of. In a day when communion graces our table, it's a very good day to hear those words indeed. It's all been taken care of. Whatever is needed for us, whatever is needed within us, it's all been taken care of. This table is symbolic of God giving it all. This table is God giving it all for all. Like I said, any system that creates insiders and outsides is a failure to live Christ's message, because when God provides, everyone is on the inside. Another parallel of our scripture with communion that we will share today is that our giving isn't to earn anything. It's simply a response to what we've been given. This may seem silly, but there's great intention. When we put things in the bulletin and order the worship service, communion comes before the offering on purpose. I never want anyone to think you have to put money in a plate in order to receive what's offered freely. We receive first, and we have the opportunity to give next. Every single day, in every single aspect of our lives, we receive first. We, like Ananias and Sapphira, can often believe if we just give enough, we'll get what we want. I tell you, there's no life in that philosophy. When we give, and every time I use the word give today, I want you to understand I'm not just talking about money. When we give what we have, what we do, when we give who we are, when we give what we treasure, we're not giving to receive anything. We're giving out of what we've already received. That's why we're invited to give our all, because all has already been given to us. Inviting you to give your all is not a death threat. It's inviting you to bring your entire honest self into this community. That's part of the all that wasn't given in our scripture. It wasn't just about the money or the land. It was about who they were, their insecurities, their shortcomings, their honest selves. They didn't give that. We're inviting you to give your all. An invitation to realize that only when you are authentically yourself can our community really grow. In fact, that's one of the ironies of this scripture. Ananias and Sapphira expected the giving to get them something. They thought if they gave, they'd get relationship. But the way they gave kept them from relationship. Giving only for visibility, only for ourselves, it denies them the very relationship they sought. The giving, where people sold land to support the community, this was an optional thing to do. It was not mandatory. Ananias and Sapphira were fine as they were. They could have kept their property and be welcomed and been a part of what was going on in that community. They could have sold their property and shown up and said, hey, we're going to give you part of this. And the community would have said, great, thank you, we'll do good things with it. Peter even asks Ananias that question. He goes, wasn't it yours to begin with? This was your choice. Wasn't the money at your full disposal to do what you wanted with? The answer to those questions is yes. He could have done part, he could have done nothing, and still been loved and been included. Whatever he gave would have been appreciated, including an honest, well, you know, Peter, we're just not ready to give that much yet. Those are important moments because they're honest moments. And that's when we're giving our all. We're giving all of who we are, including any insecurities or doubts. I don't know if I can give that much time. I don't know if I can invest that much emotionally right now. I just don't know if my schedule, all these different moments, those are honest answers. And they're a part of giving our all. I tell you, as a pastor, I don't like asking people things if I think they're just going to say yes. When people will tell me, no, I can't, I'm so willing to ask them again because I know they'll really tell me and that I don't get stuck with someone who doesn't really want to be doing something, doing it. Or someone who doesn't really want to be giving something, giving it. Because that just leads to resentment and frustration and burnout. I love an honest answer. Someone is giving their all when they say, I can't put myself into that right now. It's not the right time. That's giving your all to this community. That's what we do. It's a part of it. We're invited to give our all. And that's the invitation today. You see, naming their hesitancy and uncertainty would have actually been giving their everything. Not their every dollar, but they would have given everything that mattered. But they had trouble trusting that. And to be fair, it's a very tough concept to trust. But that's the invitation today. As we seek to live out here what it is to be a community, a home where all belong, we're invited to create a space that invites and encourages everyone who's a part to give their all, not all of our money, but all of ourselves. Because all we have to give has already been given to us. Amen.